SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Experience the world premiere of Flora, a powerful story of resilience and renewal, presented by the Australian Ballet and Bangarra Dance Theatre. This bold new dance collaboration takes you on a journey through the evolution of Australian flora, bringing together artists drawn from two of Australia's leading dance companies. Flora promises to be unmissable. Journey through our living history in this unique dance experience. Visit australianballet.com.au.
You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Coming up on the SBS On The Money podcast, markets are pricing in further interest rate hikes, gold tumbles, and we take a look at Australia's richest people. All of that and more next. Hi everyone, welcome to the SBS On The Money podcast for this Friday, the 20th of March 2026. Later we'll take a look at the Rich List 250 with John Stensholt from The Australian, with some interesting diversity aspects to the list this year. But first to the markets, where the ASX 200 tumbled 0.8% today, and it means for the week it fell 2.2% and is now down 8.4% since the start of the war in the Middle East, heading toward correction territory. The big news today is a bit of a shift in market pricing for interest rate hikes. It follows central bank meetings around the world overnight, which saw some hawkish commentary. So for Australia, it means the market is now looking to 3 interest rate hikes by the end of the year, which is more than what many economists here think. To explain, I spoke with Tony Sycamore, a market analyst at IG Australia. Tony, firstly, how would you describe investor sentiment at the moment?
Yeah, investor sentiment right now is extremely cautious as the Middle East conflict keeps energy prices elevated, and central banks this week have sounded hawkish in response to inflation risks coming from those surging energy prices.
Okay, so let's talk about oil and central banks separately. Oil, as you've just alluded to, just so volatile. Is the market betting that they'll remain above these $100 per barrel levels for Brent?
Last week, oil was extremely volatile, hit that $120 level. This week, it settled down a little bit, just hovering around that $100 level. Now, in terms of what we're seeing out there, the futures market is showing some backwardation, which means that in the near term, the expectation is for prices to stay high. But presuming that some of these diplomatic efforts and, I guess, escalation measures come through, they are starting to flow through into the back end of the curve, which is showing an expectation that crude oil prices are expected to fall into the second half of this year.
The RBA met this week. We also heard from the US Federal Reserve, Bank of Japan, the Bank of Canada. There's been quite a number overnight, the Bank of England and the ECB. What's come out of these meetings and what are the implications for Australia?
This week has been a central bank extravaganza. We saw the RBA hike on Tuesday. The BOJ, BOE and ECB both pivoted hawkishly, and they're now expected to raise rates in the months ahead. Now, for Australia, what this means is the more hawkish stance from those offshore central bank colleagues really reinforces the idea that the RBA needs to stay vigilant on the risks coming from inflation, and this is leading to expectations of more aggressive rate hikes in the months ahead.
So more aggressive, I think the market's now saying 3 more rate hikes here. To what extent does that mean a shift of strategy for investors and why?
Well, it's resulting in investors staying away from growth and rate-sensitive sectors, moving more towards those defensive sectors, including consumer staples, utilities, and of course the energy sector is firmly in the play of the month at this point of time, given what energy prices are doing. So that's the general trend which we're seeing, and I expect it to continue into the end of this month.
So the market's changed a lot over the past 3 or 4 months. Back then, we saw that gold price, you know, surge above 5,000. It's now set for its worst week in 6 years. Is the gold party over?
Yeah, it's been a big week for gold on the downside. We had some terrific weeks at the start of this year, but this week's all been to the downside. And what I think it means is that we're going to see lower prices for gold in the weeks and months ahead, potentially down towards 4,200. So about another $500 to the downside. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the party is over. Gold did have a terrific run at the start of this year, hit that high around 5,600. And I think what we're seeing now is probably a buying opportunity down towards 4,000 as we look for that uptrend to resume towards the end of this year.
So with all that in mind, what are you telling your clients right now and where do you see the opportunities for investors?
Well, for here in Australia, our materials sector has been absolutely beaten up. So I think there's probably an opportunity to pick up some beaten up material stocks, BHP, Rio, et cetera, looking for some de-escalation in the months ahead. But also, I do really like the idea of buying gold on a pullback back towards that $4,200 level. And the other thing to keep in mind is while we are in a defensive frame of mind and with interest rates moving higher, you're starting to see some very attractive rates back up towards 5% for term deposits and cash. So they're the things we're looking at this point of time.
That's Tony Sycamore there from IG Markets. Well, Gina Rinehart retains a top spot on the Australian Rich List 250 this year, though softer iron ore prices have reduced her wealth slightly to $41.66 billion. Harry Triguboff from Meriton is at number two at $34.1 billion, while businessman Anthony Pratt leapfrogged into third at $30 billion. And that's because Atlassian co-founders Mike Cannon-Brookes and Scott Farquhar have dropped out of the top 10. And they were third and fourth last year. However, their personal fortunes took about an $18 billion hit each as software stocks were punished due to AI fears. WiseTech founder Richard White wasn't spared, slipping 10 spots after losing $7 billion. Now, their losses were big enough to drag down the collective wealth of Australia's richest 250 for the first time in 8 years. And to explain, Stephanie Youssef spoke with Rich List editor John Stensholt.
So, John, tell me about the list. Any surprising new faces this year?
I love the new names that we've got, including 92-year-old Pamela Wall. She's a first-time billionaire. She's been working for a company called Coden. She's actually one of the biggest shareholders, and she's on the list for the first time, but she's also a billionaire for the first time because the business has doubled in value in the last year. Pammy, as she's known, she's from Adelaide, and she wants to give all that money away. So she's, she used to be back on the board of the company back in the days. They told her at board meetings she had to wear a skirt, but then she said, no, I'm going to wear pantsuits because I'm, important, I'm a woman. And so she did that, and she's emerged as one of our newest billionaires at the grand old age of 92. It's amazing.
The rich remain very rich, but the combined wealth of the richest 250 has actually fallen for the first time in 8 years. Why is that?
So there's an AI revolution going on. So it's cut a lot of people's fortunes in the technology sector in particular. So on the one hand, AI is fantastic from a data center and AI point of view. So there's a lot of new names on that are coming onto the list. For example, Oliver Curtis from Firmus. He was in jail for insider trading 10 years ago. It's amazing redemption story. He's back, AI company, and a couple of others as well. But they're literally cutting the sort of lunch, I suppose, of software companies like Atlassian and WiseTech. And the two founders of Atlassian are down $18 billion each. And Richard White from WiseTech is down $7 billion. Just by himself in the last year because their share prices have come down. So that's the major reason for the overall drop in the fortunes. It's almost literally due to three people dropping by about $35 billion.
Beneath the cracked clay, a seed unfurls. Leaf, bloom, life, promise. Crossing time and space. Experience Flora. A powerful story of resilience and renewal, presented by the Australian Ballet and Bangarra Dance Theatre. This bold new dance collaboration traces the evolution of Australian flora. Journey through our living history in this unique dance experience. Visit australianballet.com.au.
Insight Now has a dedicated live channel on SBS On Demand. That means episodes of Insight play back-to-back non-stop. Go to SBS On Demand, scroll down to the featured live channels, and then select Insight. It's that easy.
Are there any other reasons why the fortunes have been impacted?
It's a very volatile market out there with war going on and commodity prices up and down as well. There's some perennially good industries like the real estates, you know, financial services is still pretty good. Manufacturing is back in vogue as well. Mining is actually doing pretty well. But the volatility of the market is what's, making some of these fortunes go up and down, really.
Australia is known for its multiculturalism. What are some of the migrant success stories that have emerged this year?
Like Australia overall, the migrant story with the Richest 250 is so important. I love the stories, you know, from the Frank Lowys of the world, Dennis Bastos as well, you know, son of Greek migrants, an amazing success story with his DGB Health. But the ones I really like are Andre and Carol Estefan, the co-founders of El Janna, the Lebanese charcoal chicken business. They're on the list for the first time, worth $800 million. They just started with one chicken shop in Sydney's Granville and have just grown this amazing business from there all around Australia. They've taken on private equity money in the last year, which is why that valuation's gone up by so much. So I think they're, you know, an amazing story. They just, you know, literally just came to Australia with pretty much nothing and have built a great story just through sheer hard work and persistence.
What about gender? Rich lists have traditionally been dominated by men. Are we seeing more women being represented or creating those levels of wealth?
For the first time in a long time, there's actually a lot more women on the list. So we've got 38 women on the list this year, and they control about $140 billion worth of wealth. So it's actually 9 new women on the list, which is fantastic. So there's some really interesting names like Melanie Perkins from Canva, Kate Leslie is a new name on the list, and she's from Swipe Jobs. So she's one that's actually really, really, you know, important. There's these female technology founders, and that's what I think is a fantastic story. Finally, we're seeing some, you know, look, I mean, you know, 38 out of 250 is not a massive amount, but it's a lot more than it was, you know, a year, two, three, particularly 5 or 6 years ago, for sure.
Are there any other trends that you're seeing emerge? Like, I've noticed there are quite a few young people on the list.
I think with the emergence of technology, particularly in the last decade, you know, you can build a business from Australia and you can take it to the world thanks to the internet, you know, thanks to cloud computing, thanks to AI now. So we have more people in their 30s and their 40s that are, you know, making money quicker or building these businesses quicker than they ever have in the past. So, look, it used to be that the market that you had for your company was just in your city or just in your state or in Australia, but now you can take it to the world.
It's John Stensholt there from the Australian Rich List 250, speaking with Stephanie Youssef, and they wrap up the podcast for this Friday and for the week. Don't forget, if you enjoy it, give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Click subscribe, and we'll be back on Monday.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only and should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decisions.
This SBS on the Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. Content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.
Experience the world premiere of Flora, a powerful story of resilience and renewal, presented by the Australian Ballet and Bangarra Dance Theatre. This bold new dance collaboration takes you on a journey through the evolution of Australian flora, bringing together artists drawn from two of Australia's leading dance companies. Flora promises to be unmissable. Journey through our living history in this unique dance experience. Visit australianballet.com.au.